2 years since September 11th, there's been no shortage of wild conspiracy theories about what happened that day. It's all out there on the internet. It was Israeli fanatics, the big oil companies, the U.S. military using remote-controlled planes in some attempted coup. Our researchers found hundreds of conspiracy websites, some sickening, some just plain dumb. It brings to mind the dark days after the assassination of JFK, when grand conspiracy theories were also spawned in an atmosphere of confusion and secrecy about the government investigation. Since 9/11, the FBI alone has conducted 180,000 interviews, but we still haven't heard and may never know the whole truth. In the absence of fact, rumor takes over. Four New Jersey women are determined to change that. Before 9/11, these women's lives revolved around family and children. But when their husbands died that day, they were transformed into political activists on a mission. And leaders in Washington are listening. Our story is reported by NPR correspondent Daniel Zwerdling, with Now producers William Brangham and Andrew Fredericks.
Whenever there's a tragedy, you think, how could this have happened?
I had faith in all of my leaders on September 10th that they were doing the best jobs that they could to protect the lives of my loved ones, my friends, my countrymen.
I didn't understand that I needed to look at the bigger picture. I've turned into a very disenchanted, fully awake, no longer naive person who's extremely driven.
I want to meet with the NSA, CIA, and the FBI together in one room.
I want to tell them you need to communicate better.
That's a nice... Are you? That's a nice idea.
Mindy Kleinberg, Patty Casaza, Lori Van Auken, Kristen Breitweiser. These women banded together after their husbands were killed, and now they're leading a campaign to find out exactly how did 9/11 happen, and exactly what's the government doing to prevent another attack.
We want to know the subject matter of the open hearings. We want to know who is testifying, and we want the dates, and we want to know if we can submit questions.
A lot of people think, but we already know what happened on 9/11. It's been all over the news. And besides, Congress just released this investigative report about it a couple months ago. But this country has barely begun to learn the truth about 9/11. That's what the women say. And they want to make sure we eventually hear it.
We have no expertise, but what we have is a passion and a drive to right the wrongs and to fix the problems and to find the truth.
Mindy Kleinberg remembers the moment when she realized some people don't want the truth.
On September 12th, when I was still looking for my husband, thinking that he was going to somehow come home, 100 airline lobbyists went to Washington, okay, and lobbied for them to be protected against us.
Congress was about to pass a law that compensated victims' families, but it also severely restricted their rights to sue the airlines. People like Mindy Kleinberg worried that they might never be able to force the airlines to go to court to disclose everything they knew about 9/11. Leaders in Congress said, don't worry, we're going to investigate 9/11. So the women were stunned when President Bush convinced Congress to back off. He reportedly told congressional leaders that a sweeping investigation might distract from the government's war on terrorism. As a result, the congressional investigation focused mainly on the FBI and CIA. They never examined what the airlines or the Immigration Service or the White House did or didn't do. Then the women heard that some frustrated legislators were trying to launch another, broader investigation, but the president and his allies in Congress were trying to block that. And that's when the women got together and said, let's organize a protest in Washington.
We went to Home Depot because we knew we needed signs, and we are in the line, you know, the aisle of Home Depot, hand sawing slat, you know, of wood, which was very comical because we had all the people in Home Depot looking at us like we were maniacs because we were slicing up, you know, 50 slats of wood and really didn't know how to do it, and no one was helping us.
Eventually, they figured it out, and they held their rally in Washington. Hundreds of people showed up, including some U.S. senators.
So with heavy hearts,
Kristen Breitweiser asked the whole country for support.
We need a full independent investigation. We must ask the tough questions and seek out the difficult answers. We must, as a country, grow and be made stronger and safer by the bitter lessons learned on September 11th.
No stone.
Mindy Kleinberg took to the podium, too.
We are asking you, America, to stand behind us. Please, pick up the phone. Call your senators. Call your congressmen. Tell them that you want to be safe. Tell them that you want an independent investigation.
Not long after that, the White House called, and the president's aides said they wanted to talk. In fact, the New Jersey women and a handful of other survivors had a series of meetings at the White House. Some were reportedly rather heated, but in the end, President Bush changed his position, and Congress agreed to launch a new independent commission to investigate 9/11. The commission is supposed to probe every corner of government and then recommend how it needs to change.
And I am honored to be here with the families.
Tim Romer is a member of this commission. He's a former Democratic congressman. Romer says the commission wouldn't exist if it weren't for the four New Jersey widows.
One of the most influential things that they did for me was not only dig into facts and give me knowledge, but really inspire me, both with their effort to move forward and say, we're not giving up. We will never give up. We are going to make government be accountable, and we are going to get answers.
Romer was also part of the earlier congressional investigation.
One of the women, Kristen Breitweiser, was in my office, and she said to me, Tim, we need you to be our prosecutor. We need you to not just ask the tough questions, but to knock down the doors. And she said, I have a wedding ring. And she took it off her finger, and she handed it to me. She said, you hold this. Where do you think I got this? And I said, maybe Ron gave that to you, fumbled, I didn't know. And she said, a couple months after 9/11, they found that ring that's in your hand. That's all I have left, my husband. And they found that ring on a finger. And I have a three-year-old. And I want to be able to tell her someday what happened to her father and what happened to the country. That's what we're trying to do on this 9/11 commission.
But the New Jersey women figured they couldn't just trust that the commission would dig up the truth. So they started digging on their own.
This was the beginning of our research. We printed articles, copied them.
They gathered mountains of information from the internet and old newspapers. They took their binders to Washington. They met with members of Congress and spent days in hearings. They compared what different officials said and began to find discrepancies and contradictions. For instance, government officials say they can't establish an exact timeline for the events on 9/11. They can't even confirm exactly what time each plane was hijacked or exactly what time they learned that the planes were hijacked.
I sat in that hearing, and a Lieutenant Colonel at NORAD is saying that, you know, the times in the logbook that we have written down might not be the exact time that the event happened. It could have just been when the person went and logged it in. And I'm thinking, this is the military. Aren't these the guys that say 0800 and, you know, have everything to the second? And, you know, is that not what we know about them? And now you have this catastrophic event and you got a call in about a hijacking and it didn't get logged at the exact time. I mean, it doesn't make common sense.
The women found government documents that spell out exactly what officials are supposed to do the moment that a plane goes off course or cuts off its signals to ground control or does anything unexpected. And they read that NORAD sent up fighter jets dozens of times in the year before the attack to check out erratic aircraft. So the women wonder, what happened on 9/11?
On the morning of September 11th, we had four planes drastically off their flight paths. Transponders disconnected, and the FAA procedure and protocol to notify NORAD and for NORAD to scramble fighter jets were not followed. And it wasn't like they all happened in the course of an hour. What I think is very frustrating is looking back when I speak to people, they say, well, it happened in such a short span of time. It did not happen. It happened over the course of 2 hours. You're telling me over the course of 2 hours, Andrews Air Force Base in the Washington, D.C. area, which houses F-16s, which fly cover for Air Force One, could not get a plane up in the air to cover the Pentagon?
The more the women searched for answers, the more they learned how the system works. For instance, the more you appear in the media, the more the world comes to you.
Because of our work being reported in the papers, we had people reaching out to us. We met with an air traffic controller from Newark who flat out said to us, look, you know, I don't know what happened. All he could tell us was that the FBI showed up, took all of their files, all of their recordings, and walked out.
So the women decided to go to the top. They and other survivors met with the head of the FBI, Robert Mueller. The way Breitwiser tells the story, Mueller started showing them a PowerPoint presentation. She cut to the chase.
And we said, Director Mueller, you are our chief investigator. We have information that you have come in and taken these files, taken these recordings. We'd like to know what you learned from them. We'd like to know where you are in your investigation.
So you, all four of you, and other family members, right, are meeting with the director of the FBI?
Right.
And were you, I mean, you're sounding very tough and forceful right now. Were you really talking to FBI director like this?
Yes.
Of course, the whole country's learned since 9/11 about those FBI agents in Phoenix and Minneapolis. They warned months before 9/11 that suspicious Middle Eastern men were taking flight training, including Zacharias Moussaoui. The agents warned that maybe they were terrorists planning an attack. And Kristen Breitwiser says she wanted the FBI to clearly explain, how could you have failed to put the pieces together?
I'm sitting there with a FBI agent who's very high up. Not the director, but nonetheless very high up in the FBI. And I said to him, I don't understand. You have the Phoenix memo, you have Zacharias Moussaoui in custody. You had actually been to the flight school that you picked up Zacharias Moussaoui at 4 or 5 times before to investigate other individuals, one of those individuals who happened to be a pilot for Osama bin Laden himself. And you had the Phoenix memo alerting you to the interest that these Middle Eastern men had in flight schools. How is it that you didn't find them prior to 9/11? So this agent says to me, do you know how many flight schools there are in America? Thousands. Do you know how many ground instructors there are? Thousands. And you expected us to go to every single flight school to find these handful of men? And I'm like, well, honestly, yes. So then I'm like, okay, fine, I'll give you that. I'll give you that you couldn't have hit every flight school. I'm like, okay, fine. Well, how is it that if there's thousands of flight schools and you could never have found them, how is it that you went to Embry-Riddle Flight School in Daytona Beach, Florida, hours after the attacks? If there's thousands of flight schools, how did you just happen to go to that one exact perfect school that some of the hijackers went to? How'd you know to go to that school? And he just looked at me and goes, we got lucky.
Breitwiser suspects that the FBI was actually following the terrorists before 9/11. FBI officials deny that. But the congressional investigation discovered that some U.S. intelligence officials did have crucial information about al-Qaeda and its plots years before 9/11. They even knew that terrorists might be plotting to use airplanes as weapons. For instance, in 1995, intelligence officials learned that al-Qaeda planned to crash a plane into CIA headquarters. In 1998, they got warnings that terrorists planned to crash a plane into the World Trade Center. In the spring of 2000, the CIA knew that an al-Qaeda operative had moved from Malaysia to California and that another had a visa to come to the United States. Those two would later hijack the plane that crashed into the Pentagon. And just a month before the 9/11 attacks, President Bush himself learned at a briefing that al-Qaeda might have plans to hijack commercial airliners.
If you watch the televised press reports, and this is something that also angered us early on, is you have Condoleezza Rice saying we could never have anticipated planes being used as bombs.
I don't think anybody could have predicted that these people would take an airplane and slam it into the World Trade Center, take another one and slam it into the Pentagon.
If you reach a certain level in the government or in private industry or anywhere, incompetence should not fly. If you are incompetent in any facet of your job, you should no longer be there. And I don't understand why that feeling is not passed on in Washington. I don't understand how George Tenet could still have his job. I don't understand how Robert Mueller could still have his job. I don't understand how Condoleezza Rice could still have her job.
Why?
Because they completely and utterly failed.
The New Jersey women say they're getting skeptical that the 9/11 Commission can do its job. The commission is supposed to dig up all the facts, but the commission's chairman has complained publicly that Bush administration officials aren't cooperating. They're not turning over key documents. The White House won't let the commission interview government employees unless there's a minder in the room. Meanwhile, the women keep asking more questions that they want the commission to resolve.
Can you think of any moment when the women said to you, we've just researched something and look at this, Congressman Romer, and you said to yourself, wow, I didn't know that. That happens on pretty much a weekly basis. They are always telling me, we need you to kick down the doors, to be responsible, to be our prosecutor, and get at the facts.
These women are a little bit direct.
They are aggressive. They are knowledgeable, they are well-informed, and you need to be to get the kind of answers that we must have to make this country a safer place.
The women's crusade began in the aisles of Home Depot. Then it moved to the White House. They began by examining the past, but now they're also looking to the future. When will the Bush administration give ports the money they need for inspections? When will the White House and Congress reorganize the intelligence agencies? And what about America's relationships with the rest of the world?
Before 9/11, you know, my husband and I had the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and the New York Times delivered to the house. And I would open the New York Times. Ironically enough, my husband was killed by Middle Eastern terrorists. And I think to myself, my God, I should have read those stupid pages. I should have known who Osama bin Laden was. I should have known the name Al-Qaeda. And I think that really, for me, that's a wake-up call.
I thought democracy just worked. And I learned that it doesn't go like that. That if you want a country, if you want to live in this great country of ours with our fabulous democracy and our constitution and, you know, our different rights, freedom of speech and all the things that we take for granted, you have to fight for those things.